You are now listening to the Jay Porks Experience. Now, here's Jay!
Yo, what is the word, people? Welcome to another action-packed edition of the Jay Porks Experience. I'm Jay Porks, with me as always on the other side of the glass, making sure this is a well-oiled podcast machine every week, is the ever-popular, growing with popularity every single week, blowing up. With me behind the glass is nobody. Got a handful of stuff, handful of things to get to. I swear I'll find a different sentence to start the podcast off with one of these days. But for now, it's always going to be a few things to get to. What I want to talk about basically in this first couple of minutes here is something I touched on last week, but we're going to touch on it again this week. Last week I discussed Dr. Dre scrapping Detox and dropping Compton. Compton, the soundtrack. The soundtrack for the movie Straight Outta Compton, the NWA biopic, coming to theaters this week, I believe. Dre's made the soundtrack for it. Last week you may have heard me say, because Dr. Dre came out with a statement and said that, you know, he didn't like what was going on the Detox record, and he scratched it, and then he came out with Compton because he got together with his buddies, and he was feeling it. And I, you know, as much as I would love to claim to believe that, the fact is that I don't know who, there was no other artist doing the soundtrack, doing the movie score, for Straight Outta Compton, besides Dr. Dre. So, for him to say that he saw the final cut of the movie, got some inspiration, and recorded this record is complete and utter bullshit. I'm sorry, it is. Now, my thoughts on the record. You might want to know what I think about the songs on Detox / Compton. You might think that I'd come here and I'd be able to give you some thoughts. I have limited thoughts, and I'll tell you why. Because Dr. Dre has released the most top-secret album in the history of life. It came out, but you can't listen to it. You're not allowed to listen to it, because it's out, but it's not out. And I'll explain what that means. What Apple Music is, Apple Music is what Apple is trying to do to counteract Pandora, Spotify. Apple's got its own thing because Apple has your phone. So they figured, you know what, we're going to try some shit out. So if you updated to the new operating system, which I have not because I don't have space on my phone, you would have Apple Music. And if you had Apple Music on your phone, you were able to listen to Dr. Dre's album, or the Compton movie soundtrack, Compton, the soundtrack, in its entirety. It's all very difficult to keep up with. Apple Beats Radio 1 has a schedule where they have radio shows. Like, Dr. Dre has a radio show called The Pharmacy. It goes on at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights, I want to say. Also, Zane Lowe has a show on Beats 1. I don't know where Zane Lowe was before, but I know he's big on like the radio. Like, he's a big DJ. So, or whatever, radio personality. They don't pick the songs anymore, but, you know. Also, Ebro Darden. That's the guy who used to be the program director at Hot 97, and he's now the morning show host, which is weird. I'm not even sure if he actually hosts the morning show anymore. Maybe he jumped to Beats. Anyway, so, and day by day, Beats 1 is introducing new shows that they think you're going to listen to on your device because they think that the future of the radio is on your phone. You want to know what the future of radio is? I'm going to tell you. You hear what that was? That was the garbage. Because that's what the future of radio is. You will not save it. if your car comes with Sirius, you have the radio. If you live in a state with a rock station, you have the radio. If not, you own the songs on your iPod. Why on earth would I listen to what Dr. Dre is telling me he wants me to listen to? He wants me to, he's got a show based on West Coast hip hop. That's great and all, and that would be great in the early 90s. But right now, I'd like to hear the best hip hop. I don't care where it's from geographically. And why are you even telling me it's West Coast hip hop when they're going to be talking about trapping out of Bando anyway? They're going to be singing that. They're going to be using Southern phrasing and phrasing that doesn't represent the area they come from in their music, because that's what happened to rap music. There's no geographical qualities to it anymore. You can't tell where the guy's from. All right. That's cool. Dre wants to reinvent the wheel. That's fine. Have fun with it. He premiered Compton on his radio show for the pharmacy audience. It's well received by critics. I'll tell you what I heard. I heard Medicine Man featuring Eminem. Track is really good. The Eminem verse, the way it builds with the beat, it's that part of the song is perfect. But let's just get one thing straight here. I don't think it's cool that Dr. Dre is using the T-Pain voice box. You're going to listen to some of this album and you're going to wait for Dr. Dre to start rapping. He is rapping. It just so happens that he's got a little voice box thing going, and it sounds like T-Pain. It took me a second. I'm like, wait a second. Is that Dr. Dre? Is that Dr. Dre right now? And it was. And, I mean, it bothers me so much that I can't easily listen to the rest of this album. It bothers me a lot that Dr. Dre has Compton, the soundtrack, on lock and key when I'm going to see the movie on fucking Friday. I'm going to hear the songs. It's not like it's not coming out for 6 months. It's coming out Friday. The movie's out. I mean, these artists are so hung up with not having their music heard. Every artist wants to make albums that only they can listen to. I'm sorry that we're going to steal your record, but we are, and you should just be happy that people like your music. I'm not here to bash Compton. The track I heard, it was awesome. It was a great song. And I wish I could. And listen, John Connor all over that album. John Connor was opening for Slaughterhouse a few years ago. John Connor went on tour with Joe Budden. I've known about John Connor for a long time. About 5 years. Glad to see his coming out party. Nobody knows who he is. Spitting fire on this fucking album. According to the breakdown that I read. And it's funny that Dr. Dre probably has more ghostwriters than Drake has living in his house right now. We've got, and I'm just looking at the Wikipedia right here, Focus. Focus has produced tracks for Christina Aguilera, Jennifer Lopez, Beyonce, Fitty, Busta Rhymes, Yayo, Stack Quo, The Game, and others. So Focus is heavily featured as one of the writers on this record. Also, Andre Young is Dr. Dre. Ghostwriters you may know. King Mez. King Mez is a ghostwriter on this album. Also, The Game. This is so funny. Kendrick Duckworth, who is also known as Kendrick Lamar, that is funny. Is his real name Kendrick Duckworth? That just sounds like such a funny fucking name. Kendrick Lamar Duckworth. Unbelievable. You remember, guys, they listed him as the new school legend. He's a legend who kind of raps good. Stat Quo. Just Another Day. The Game is on there. Marshall Mathers has the guest lyrics on. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. There is not one lyric that Dr. Dre wrote on this record. And that's okay. Dr. Dre isn't going into a freestyle battle and trying to win. Dr. Dre never claimed that that was his game. He is a producer, and he never said that he's anything other than that. And he doesn't mind having people ghostwrite his rhymes. Still DRE. Jay-Z wrote that track. I know. Doesn't that hurt your feelings? Doesn't that make you think so differently of it? That the best Jay-Z song to ever come out was performed by Dr. Dre? Isn't that silly? Yeah, but, lots of guest writers on here. Lots of ghost writers on here. And I'm not saying that Dr. Dre isn't allowed to release a record and make you want to pay for it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that to play it on your Apple Music Beats 1 bullshit because you're trying to reinvent music, you're trying to reinvent the radio, it's not happening. Because you need Wi-Fi to use your device if you don't want to use up your data. So let's just say that, for instance, Pandora. If I want to listen to Pandora right now, I'm in my house. So the Wi-Fi is not that good. So I would have to use up my data. And then I would go over and get charged overages for going over my data plan that me and Sprint have agreed upon. Okay. So now if you're in your house and you have the Beats 1 radio and you have Apple Music or whatever the fuck it is, I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what it's called. I spent a half hour. I paused the podcast and I spent 20 minutes. What is Apple Music? I don't know. jporkspodcast@gmail.com. Let me know what it is. I know they've got some shows, and I know they're kind of like Pandora. Other than that, I don't know what they are. So do you think that if somebody has Wi-Fi, instead of, you know, watching movies, watching Netflix, watching Hulu, you think instead of doing all that, instead of going on YouTube and watching a cat eat food with chopsticks, you think that instead of that, they're going to sit down and go back to 1988 and pretend they're listening to the radio? Get the fuck out of here. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I'm not down with this whole trying to revive terrestrial radio. It's not happening. Dre, get a podcast. 11 million people have Apple Music? That's cool. About 50 million people have iPhones. What's that say? Well, actually, about 50 million people bought the new iPhone that just came out. The most recent one. Probably like 200 million people with iPhones, and 11 million of them have Apple Music. That many people care about it. Is Dre touring? Is he touring with his Peter Frampton voice box? This is not a knock on Dr. Dre, the artist. This is not a knock on Dr. Dre, the person. Not a knock on Dr. Dre, the music. This is a knock on the way in which someone has, the people who are around Dr. Dre are in his ear telling him this is a good idea. They're in his ear like, yeah, man, we're just going to put it on the internet just for streaming, and you can't download it. And you can't buy it until the movie comes out. Because what we want to do is we want to release it on the internet a week before it comes out. Give people a week to download it before the movie comes out and we decide that we don't really want the album. Because we saw the movie. And we kind of just want the movie. Again, if there's one thing hip-hop is missing in 2015, I'm not going to sit here and say it's missing Dr. Dre. I'm sorry. And I've been trying I can honestly tell you that for the last half of this day, I have been looking all over the internet for one version of Dr. Dre and Eminem, Medicine Man on YouTube, because I was going to play it on my podcast and totally go to prison. Because, listen, things get leaked on the internet all the time, but I'm telling you, Google Dr. Dre Compton. Watch how hard it is to find. It's almost as hard as finding episodes of Monday Night Raw from 1997. You just can't find them. They're not there. They happened, but they're not there. Same thing with the links to Dr. Dre's Compton. Got a couple of more. Got some more NWA-related stuff when we come back after this.
Hey everybody, this is Andy from the Andy Dare Show, just thanking you for checking out the Jay Parks Experience. If you want to learn more about Jay, follow him on Twitter, @JayParks. Follow him on Instagram, @JayParks. JayParks.com for the podcast, articles, pictures, you name it. There's a running theme here. It's Jay Parks. So for 2015, if you want to support the Dare Podcast Network, all you got to do is go to theandydareshow.com and click on the Amazon banner, and you will be tipping your cap to the Jay Parks Experience and all the fine broadcasting here at Dare Network. Thanks for listening, and back to the Jay Parks Experience.
Listen, hey yo, I don't want the Dougie, I just want money. Study under the understudy, the 120. Young dummies, can't spar. No life, my flow tight, like your pants on. You don't got a chance, pa. Ants on community. Malachi York, freaking see your fucker eulogy. Rock jewelry. What jewelry? I took this from another rapper, slapped him with the Julie G. Cornball rappers, I see him on BET, relieved of the jewelry, interview beef DVD. PTNT, the flow dynamite. Niggas so-so, bozos ain't rhyming right. I hit the line of white, I smoke a double green. Niggas call it purple, what the fuck you mean? Fuck a fist fight, I'm gunning you rappers. I don't give a fuck about none of y'all rap. The fifth spray shit. The piff stay lit. My bitch stay dip with the Richard Bay tits. Niggas say shit. They say it ain't shit. Shut the fuck up. Nigga, I'm nothing to play with. I bust heaters at your whole damn click. Blow. Sean Price, the leader of boot camp. Click now. Admire the admiral animal rap. Smack the shit out of a nigga and hand him his hat. Banging on wax. Niggas don't bang in the street. Banging online. Niggas don't bang in the street. Playing for keeps. Keep playing. I slam your ass on your face till your fucking teeth breaking. Big. The jerk been retired. I'm nice. So I'm back, nigga. Smack. Earth, wind, fire, and ice out that nigga. Rap niggas. I doubt if there's nigga doing it like me. Fuck out of here. Big.
And we are back. That's a little Sean Price for you. Rest in peace to Sean Price. Another rapper died young. The thing about Sean Price is that, you know how when there's a, like even Bill Hicks or some good comedian, there'll be a comedian's comedian, whereas all the comics will come out from backstage and stand in the back and watch them perform. Like, usually, you know, comics, they come, they do their set, and they go to the bar and drink. But if there's a really good, you know, if there's a comics comic up there, somebody that all the other comedians go and watch, you call that a comics comic. So what I would call Sean Price is a rapper's rapper. Because he doesn't have much, he doesn't have any of the buzz that anyone on the streets has, that anyone who's out now has, but he died and a bunch of rappers that you all respect started paying homage to him. And that's just what, that's just, you know, the sad truth about it. Sad truth about it. He's a rapper's rapper. Passed away. So R.I.P. Sean Price. All right. Got some headlines for you. Headlines every week. They be powered by Antiquiet. So the other night, Fish was playing. Well, that always happens. Fish is always playing. But they were playing the other night. And Fish, and I'll read it to you from jambands.com right now. Fish brought the heat with an old school set list at the Blossom Music Center in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio last night. The show featured a grand total of 8 tour debuts, as well as a few big jams, and a plea for Ween to reunite. Things got started with a formidable A Song I Hear the Ocean Sing before my sweet one, Wilson, and Timber marked a string of tour debuts. 2015's first take on Ween's Roses Are Free came next, and guitarist Trey Anastasio followed the tune with a plea for Aaron Freeman and Mickey, a.k.a. Gene and Dean Ween, to get back together and start playing. Anastasio also described Ween, who broke up in 2012, as one of his all-time favorite bands. So Trey Anastasio wants Fish to reunite. And actually, Jambase has a more detailed quote here. Okay. First of all, you know what I want to say? When I click on a fucking article, I want the quote to be there that I'm looking for. Don't fucking hide it. Stop hiding the shit. Stop burying the lead. You're making me look fucking stupid on my podcast. I'm over here looking for fucking quotes. You kidding? Anyway, the quartet had just finished performing a cover of Ween's Roses Are Free when Anastasio stepped to the mic to deliver a plea. I'd like to take a quick second to send out a special message to my friends Aaron and Mickey, who are going to hear somehow through this. Guys, it's time to get back together and start playing again. That's from me here at Blossom. Aaron and Mickey, I hope you hear that. Ween, one of my all-time favorite bands. Time to get back together and start playing. You heard it here first, says Trey Anastasio to the crowd in Ohio. So what do you guys think? I mean, Fish wants Ween to get back together. The only thing is, you know who probably doesn't want Ween to get back together? Ween. And there's only one member of Ween that probably doesn't want to get back together. Gene. And I'll tell you why. Sobriety. It's boring, but it's true. Some people can't handle stuff. Like, some people get in a band, get on drugs, get off drugs, can't be in the band. I was hanging out with Dean Ween. Guy does no sorts of drugs. Guy had a Beck's beer. It's all I know of. I don't know. Gene Ween is playing Billy Joel covers at the Brooklyn Bowl, all right? If you want to know what Gene Ween's up to. Meanwhile, Dean Ween Group just bought a new van. They're getting ready to tour. They're having loads of fun. If you go like the Dean Ween Group on Facebook, you can check out their updates. It's good times. So Trey Anastasio wants Ween to get back together. There's no news on what Bob Weir and Phil Lesh have to say about Ween getting back together, but chances are they'll agree with Trey Anastasio. Oh, by the way, don't you love that the Grateful Dead final shows, and then they go play MSG on Halloween with John Mayer? Yeah. Yeah. You guys heard about Ryan Adams recently? Ryan Adams has been in the studio recording his own versions of every song from Taylor Swift's most recent release, 1989. This kind of thing has been done before, and it's been done by it best by Adams itself, by Adams himself. Remember Wonderwall? Who seems to have a knack of tuning good pop songs into something that sounds a little more important, or depressing, or meaningful. Over the weekend, he shared a couple of clips through late-night tweets, giving us a taste of Bad Blood stripped away from all its hyped-up celebrity-filled blockbuster video and bringing it down to its bare bones. And the bones are good. Adams declared the song, from a songwriter's perspective, to be unreal.
Damn.
He also shared a little bit of Out of the Woods. Stereo Gum also notes, in what initially seemed like a joke, but has now become gloriously real, Ryan Adams has spent the past few days recording a full-length album cover album of Taylor Swift's 1989. He's almost halfway through the track list by now, most of the songs supposedly in the style of the Smiths. But this one is more straight Ryan Adams. He calls it a heartbreaker-sounding version. But what in the world is he going to do with Welcome to New York? He already wrote his own anthem for New York City in 2001. Well, we will see, won't we? So Ryan Adams, that's courtesy of the Gothamist, Ryan Adams is going to cover Taylor Swift 1989 in its entirety in the style of the Smiths, because why the fuck not, right? I mean, basically the story with everything these days is because why the fuck not? Don't see any reason not to. And I know that I was already talking about NWA. I was already talking about Straight Outta Compton. But I just saw something that makes me want to hit my head against the wall, man. And I'm going to share it with you here. This is from The Wrap, covering Hollywood. LAPD steps up security at premiere of NWA biopic Straight Outta Compton. Really? Let's go on. Metal detectors and members of the gang enforcement detail deployed for the red carpet screening of a film about Ice Cube and Dr. Dre's gangster rap group. The Los Angeles Police Department rolled out additional units Monday for the premiere of Straight Outta Compton, as the stars hit the red carpet at LA Live. The stepped-up police presence included special events officers from the LAPD Central Bureau, as well as members of the department's gang enforcement detail, Officer Mike Lopez told The Wrap. We will have plenty of resources and officers there in case of any emergency. We wish that everybody enjoys the premiere and has a safe evening. Do you? Because you sound like you want them to riot. A Wrap reporter who attended the event in downtown L.A. also noted that there were additional officers on the scene and guests had to pass through metal detectors to enter the theater, which isn't always the case at Hollywood premieres. Universal Pictures did not immediately respond to the Wrap's request for comment. Ice Cube, who produced the movie, recently told The Wrap that it took years to get the project off the ground. It was one of the hardest movies I've ever had to make. It's been a four-year process that's just actual process, he said. But the dream, it goes back almost 10 years. Straight Outta Compton arrives in theaters Friday. Anyone else find something wrong with them stepping up police presence at a movie about the stepping up of police presence in Compton? I mean, is this just me? I know I'm not a black guy from Compton. All right, I'm going to admit that. You know, I'm sorry. I am not a black person from Compton. But basically, from what I gather that NWA, when they were recording their albums, was upset about the heavy police presence representing in their neighborhood. So, what is it, 30 years later? 20 years later, these guys finally made it out. They made it out the hood. They all got money. They're all escaped the life of crime, besides Suge Knight, who's, you know, probably having heart palpitations in court somewhere. They've escaped. They made a movie about their struggles, and they show up to the movie premiere, and there's probably some cops saying that, standing there. You guys got somewhere to be? I mean, what do you mean? Is this for real? Is this for real? I understand. Listen, and I'm not saying that they don't need police presence. I'm saying if you guys are going to have additional police presence, you might want to keep that shit under wraps and not have fucking headlines titled "The LAPD Steps Up Security for the NWA Movie Premiere." Have plainclothes officers. Did you think that people were going to see the movie and say, "Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Fuck this. Start shooting people"? It's art. It's art. You just see every guy going through the metal detector and you see a cop over there like, "Yo, you got somewhere to be? Ma'am, you better go in your house or I will ruin your night." Those commercials are running all week. I'm loving it. I can't fucking wait. And with the Straight Outta Compton comes the Straight Outta memes. If you go to straightoutasomewhere.com, you can upload a picture and you can be straight out of wherever you want. My Facebook picture is currently straight out of Primo, like Primo Pizza, because I was on my way to work that day. But there are some funny fucking straight out of memes happening. And I'm just gonna go through it here. I mean, I'm just going to look through, like, the chick, Jason Pierre-Paul, straight out of fingers. Tom Brady, straight out of air. Dez Bryant laying on the floor, straight out of catches. LeBron James' hairline, straight out of Rogaine. Do you see where this is going? This is awesome. The chick who was pretending to be black, who was the leader of the NAACP, straight out of Melanin. Carmelo Anthony, straight out of Rings. There's a picture of semen, and it says, "Straight out of D's Nuts." There's another Tom Brady one, straight out of cell phones. Good. That's good. Another LeBron James one, straight out of hairlines. There's also a meme, NWA, nerds with asthma. That's also very good. What else we got? We got Drake, and it says straight out of Ghost Riders. That's funny. That's funny because it's accurate. Iggy Azalea, straight out of Talent. You knew that was coming. I mean, you knew Iggy Azalea slander was happening. You got the Harry Potter crew and it's like straight out of Hogwarts. You got a picture of, I don't even know who that is. Ray J banging somebody and it's like straight out of Kim K. And this started, wow. There's the straight out of Melanin. You got Batman, it's like straight out of Parents. You see, that's fucked up because his parents died. And it's also a movie. You got this guy, Zayn Malik, and it's like straight out of One Direction. Because it's true. Chris Broussard, the guy who works for ESPN, it's like straight out of Sources. He's so mad. Kobe, straight out of Teammates. There's a good one. Bill Cosby, straight out of Pills. Drops the mic. That's it. So, straight out of Compton, the gift that keeps on giving, man. We got the straight out of memes. We got an awesome movie. It got Dr. Dre to release his album. What else is going to happen? Is NWA going to tour afterwards? With Eminem? providing the Eazy-E portion of the tour. That's not going to happen, although that was a story that leaked a couple of weeks ago. Well, maybe they'll tour without Eminem. There's also, you see Brian Williams, and he's sitting there at the desk, and he's like, so there we were, straight out of Compton, with a crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube. Crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube. Gift that keeps on giving, man. And finally, 50 Cent, straight out of money. Or there is, like, the Simba. You ever see The Lion King where they're looking over the mountain? And he's like, look, Simba, everything the light touches is California. But what about that shadowy place? That's Compton. You must never go there, Simba. Shit. Just continues. It's tough, doesn't it? All right. I've been neglecting the emails recently, so we're going to get to the emails every week. Wait, I don't have a sponsor. Every week, not every week, but every time I do the emails, they would be sponsored by Funky Field Tips. But Funky Field Tips doesn't want to write me back, so I'm working on getting another sponsor. So anybody who wants to be my sponsor, it will cost you exactly $0. All you're doing is co-signing for me and making me feel cool. So get back to me on that. jporkspodcast@gmail.com. jporkspodcast@gmail.com. Got one from Devin here. What are your thoughts on Compton once you listened? I didn't listen. I liked Medicine Man. I didn't hear any of it out, and I didn't hear the rest of it. If anyone's got a link, if anyone's got something, a download link, we won't steal it. Don't worry. I won't tell if you don't. jporkspodcast@gmail.com. I will procure that shit. Email here from Melanie. It says, I'm a waitress, and I can honestly say that I have never experienced any of the issues you have. All of my tables are nice and leave great gratuity. My bosses are great, too. Sorry. Okay. I never claimed that everybody's job sucks. I don't even know when this is from. I've been having a good week at work. But I know when it's from. It says when it's from. I definitely didn't say that serving food is the worst thing in the world to do. If you land a good gig, it could be great. I'm just not going to come on the pot. Here's the thing. You want to know honestly, Melanie? You want to honestly know the truth? Coming on the podcast and saying that table was nice, they gave me a good tip, it's not funny. It's not funny or entertaining. It does nothing for nobody. It doesn't do a damn thing for anybody. So, I'm not going to come. All right. Friday, Wednesday, I got a $50 tip. Is that funny? Is that entertaining? Do you care? No. But if I told you that some table laughed at me when I told them I wanted to be a teacher, gut laughed at me when I said I wanted to be a teacher, that's funny. I try to keep it entertaining here on the podcast. Now, what I found out in my almost 30 years of life, what I've discovered is that when good things happen to me, people don't think it's funny. But when bad things happen to me, it is very, very funny. So I try to give you guys what's funny. Like, for instance, not getting into Stone Temple Pilots that day. Sucked. But would it have been as entertaining if I got in? Probably not. Probably not. I wouldn't have had the story. It wouldn't have been the whole thing of getting denied. See, like that time I bought fake Alice in Chains tickets. And me and Pam were out $100. it's not that we wanted that to happen, but it's a fantastic story. And then getting Mike Inez and Sean Kinney to sign my fake ticket after the show, cherry on the sundae. Just saying. It's all my emails, so. If you guys want to send me an email and get in touch with the Jay Parks Experience and hit me up with whatever you want to talk about, you guys can do that. jayparkspodcast@gmail.com. That's jayparkspodcast@gmail.com. I'm so glad I didn't forget this. Before I get up on out of here, and I'm not leaving yet, I do want to play something for you guys. Over the past year, all we've been talking about is Montage of Heck and Soaked in Bleach. And Francis Bean Cobain thinks that this world is obsessed with the dead. And you know what? I used to love Nirvana and enjoying stuff Kurt Cobain related music-wise. And I've made a conscious decision that I'm not going to dwell on the death of this guy anymore. That I'm going to continue my life enjoying the life of Kurt Cobain and finding clips on YouTube and listening to them and watching live concert footage and enjoying it and not thinking about who killed who and the Foo Fighters and all that. I'm not going to think about that. I'm just going to enjoy music made by the last great rock star. And you know what? There's a Fecal Matter demo tape. Fecal Matter was a band that that Kurt Cobain and I want to say Dale Crover. And what's the fucking drummer's name? Come on. Greg Hokanson, that racist fucker. It was Kurt Cobain, Dale Crover, and Greg Hokanson recorded a record. Not a record. They recorded an album on a four-track titled Illiteracy Will Prevail. And we're still unsure about the year, if it's 85 or 86. But tracks on there include Sound of Dentage, Bambi Slaughter, Made Not Born, an early version of Spank Through, an early version of Downer. We got a short Devo turnaround. Playing. You know what I want to do? I'm going to play you a track. I'm going to play you the opening track, Sound of Dentage, and I want you to tell me what you hear. Fecal Matter.
And I know the sound of tenants, and I see it's going to get me, and I hope the captain's wallet is. Party, like to make experiments, like to go and start the boiled carcass omelette. Listen to me, to me. Listen to me, to me. I want you to see something. Why is this happening to me? Why is this real? Sound of vengeance, and I know the sound of vengeance, and I see it's called the guilty, and I know the sound of vengeance is mine. Is mine. Is mine. Is mine.
All right, I'm no Charles Cross, okay? Now, I just want to say that I am no Charles Cross, I am no Mike Lazarad when I say this, but can I just say that for somebody who the timeline indicates had never stepped in a studio before, and that comes out? That's great! I hear a real rock song in there. Like, trust me, I'll play you some. I have a guitar. I have an amplifier. You want me to play you some demos? You ain't gonna hear. It ain't gonna sound like music. Just noise. So the fact that in 1985-86, Kurt Cobain grabbed Dale Crover and may or may not have grabbed Greg Hokanson, there's conflicting reports about if Dale Crover drummed or not. Because a couple of Kurt's friends said that Greg Hokanson was a racist, so Dale Crover may or may not have drummed on the record. I don't know. What I know is that there's 54 minutes of a Fecal Matter demo online, now circulating online, and I've already acquired it. And I was wondering if it's real. It got taken down, so that's how you know it's real. They took it down. They took it off the internet. Do you know what that means? That means Courtney Love, Dave Grohl, and Chris Novoselic were like, wait a second. We can make some more money. And then Courtney Love was like, wait a second. This ain't Nirvana. This is Kurt Cobain. And Dave Grohl was like, wait a second. I don't know what Dave Grohl said. Sound of dentage. I don't know what dentage is. Like when you dent something, you give it a little dentage. I don't know what it means. There were some cool parts on there, and if you want to know what grunge is, that's what it is. Fuzzy guitars like that. This, Mudhoney, this is grunge. Much as I love Soundgarden, they are really, once they get commercial, they are straight up rock and roll. All right? So I'm down with Fecal Matter. It's weird that something that was recorded on a 4-track in 1985 is better than anything I've listened to recently that's been released. That freak you out? Isn't that a little strange? But, you know, I'm just wondering what Buzz Osborne thinks about this. Because Buzz might say that this is 90% bullshit. You never know. You never know with King Buzzo. He might decide that this is not how he wants Kurt Cobain remembered. Just saying. Fecal Matter. All right, I'm out of here. I'm going to give you guys the list of websites you need to go to help keep me in business before I get up on out of here. First of all, there is ConcertConfessions.com. That's where you'll get all your live music, news, and reviews for the fans by the fans. And if you work for a website like Spin, you know what you can do? You can even go to Concert Confessions, take video from there, and use it on your website for news fodder and not even thank the person who was in the trenches taking the video because you're that much of scumbags. ConcertConfessions.com. Live music, news, and reviews for fans by fans. I call it Brooklyn because it's where I was born and bred. Also, we got ChristinaRocks.com, HangTheDJ, 89XRadio.com every Sunday morning. Throwback alternative. I don't know where else you're getting it unless Beats 1 comes out with a fucking show about it. But until then, you can just 89XRadio.com. Every Sunday morning is where you'll find the sultry tones of Christina Rocks, the coolest cucumber in the salad. If you eat salad, I don't. Also, we got AndyDara.com. That's headquarters. That's where you'll get the Tyler Kale Show, the flagship show, the Andy Deer Show, or the Jay Porks Experience coming at you every week. And of course, the headlines be powered by the only site that doesn't give a fuck. The only news site that doesn't give a fuck about how many clicks they get per day. And that's AntyQuiet.com. And you want to know why? Because they're your source for quality. And it will only be quality. Till next week, folks. Whiskey, weed, Warren Zevon. Coming straight out of Aspen. Late.
This has been the Jay Porks Experience. Thank you so much for listening.